Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. Today, I am talking by Skype with Catherine Gephard from the French Embassy in New York. I was lucky enough to meet her at the CCID conference. So thank you, Catherine, for talking to me today. I'm just going to have you jump right in and tell us about the French Embassy's role in international education.
Yeah, thank you, Jody. It's my pleasure to be here and to talk to you today. So at the French Embassy, our role is to promote French higher education. I must admit we're biased on that, but in a lot of ways, it is really, we really believe in international education. We think it's great to build connections between countries, and at a young age, these connections become even more important because they then really impact the life of the student for a long time. And overall, in Europe, we believe even more in student mobility, actually, in the sense that we really think that it has a positive impact on the way students study and the way they become a whole person during their studies. And therefore, it is really natural for us to also promote college study abroad and to work with colleges and universities all over the US to help them make study abroad with France more sustainable, easier to access, and these kind of things.
Why does the French Embassy feel it's important to work with community colleges in addition to universities?
Yeah, we have a long, long history of working with all kinds of universities in the US. And for a long time, there's been more focus on elite universities and Harvard and how can we build programs with these. And in 2014, there have been actually talks between the two administrations in France and in the US at that time. And one of the conclusions of the talks was really to realize that if we want students and more globally, communities to be impacted by study abroad, we need to diversify in a lot of ways, the types of students, the types of programs, the types of institutions we work with, and community colleges are really just a natural partner in the sense that there are a lot of them out there, over 1,000 community colleges in the US. Not all of them are internationalizing at the moment, but a lot of them are. They're pretty dynamic and they're looking for partners and they're looking to develop something new. So for us, it's interesting actually to be in contact with them and to be part of that dynamic that exists in community colleges. And that, so that's like more if I focus on the US side of things. And on the French side, actually, for us, community colleges are very natural in the sense that we have a lot of public universities and most of our universities are public with a policy of free access and no selection at the beginning of studies. And that's something that we also see in community colleges. So it's a natural partner for our French institutions in that sense. And we also do have some institutions that are more focused on the 2 years after high school. So the shorter degrees and the 2 year degrees, and connecting these institutions with community colleges makes a lot of sense because they also have a problem-based learning approach and other similarities in pedagogy. And building then bridges between those institutions that have been kind of overlooked also in France on the French side and community colleges makes a lot of sense for us.
One of the things with community colleges mentioned earlier was the underrepresented groups. Can you give some examples of how you've built some opportunities for those underrepresented students?
Yes. So when we talk about underrepresented students, it's first generation, it's ethnical groups, Black students, Hispanic students, etc., like all the minority groups, and then also minority-serving institutions, which are not only community colleges, but a lot of community colleges are. And for us, when we build programs, of course, we have these students in mind and thinking about what are their specific needs. Financing is often an issue. But a second issue, and it seems a little bit more overlooked and, in my opinion, nearly more important, is actually lack of opportunity. There are just no programs they could apply to or they could use, because for a long time it has been considered that they don't need these kind of programs. And so the students, they don't have this understanding of actually, hey, this program is for me. Like, in a certain way, they lack a positive sense of entitlement. Every student should be thinking, oh, I can study abroad and have that self-perception and then choose to do or not to do. So a lot of times we focus on actually building opportunities. And the way we have been doing that is by building a short-term program that we call them boot camps. They take place for 2 weeks in France. They are vocational. They give academic European credits. They are very problem-based, and they are really made for students who want to discover a topic. So we've done topics like public transportation, actually, or we've done something like sustainable development in a certain context, and helping students to look at this from a chemical perspective, for instance, or biological or physical, or from physics or any other kind. And that makes, so they have this touch on really high quality experience, but where we also pay a lot of attention to the quality of hosting, because we know that these students, sometimes they haven't left their communities, they haven't left their state, or even less the United States. So for them, travel is the big thing, and they need a lot of safety and a lot of reinsurance to be sure that, like, when I get to the airport, somebody is going to pick me up and somebody is taking care of me and helping me to get around and get along. And that's really something we have been doing with our program, and just opening up to all community colleges over the US, and any student from any community college can apply. And we just asked the community colleges to send us an email that they are aware of it, and so nominate the student. And in that sense, we also, that gives the community colleges an additional tool. They don't have to build their own program where they have to be sure to have 15 students who are, and where they make sure this program would be financially sustainable, et cetera. They can just send us one student or five. We're happy with that, and think we can, in that way, complement what they are already doing. On the other hand, of course, we bring down the cost, because, yeah, as I said earlier, finance is a big issue. So we're giving out scholarships for these kind of boot camps, so that students can go abroad for $1,000 and make them much cheaper than they would already be.
One of my questions as I was listening is, you mentioned it was short term and that it's a boot camp. So it's 2 weeks long. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How often do you offer these boot camps? Is it just once a year in the summer, or do you offer them more than once?
Yeah, we do. For now, we only do them in the summer. And yeah, now with the pandemic, that has been a little bit on hold. This year, we're doing something virtual, like a lot of our colleagues and like you, or a lot of you are in the community colleges. And next year in 2022, we're counting to be back in face-to-face, as this is still an important experience for students.
I like that idea. So it sounds like these boot camps are focused more on technology and those students who are maybe going into math and science and more career fields, technology that may be manufacturing-based, mechanical engineers and that kind of thing. Is that correct?
Some of them are, but we really try to have them across the board. And another one was, for instance, on female business entrepreneurs and how to empower women and why there are inequalities, for instance, in the business sector. So that would be also more for students interested in social sciences and these kind of things. And we try to mix up the different subject areas, but it's important for us that they get like an academic look at topics that are discussed in the media, some things we hear about, and then it's kind of the idea, what does the science say about it and how can we learn from that? And at the same time, what do people, for instance, when it comes to female business entrepreneurs, they would meet somebody from a public administration actually working on a program to help women found businesses.
And I know that this is not a typical year because of the pandemic, but when you go back to having them in France, do you have these boot camps in different parts of the country? Are they all more located in one location at one university?
We try to have them really all over the country. And in that sense, it's again, we also try to diversify in France, but we love Paris. I'm a big fan, but there are also other wonderful regions in France, and we're happy to have students to discover them. And so in general, like the way we do it, we have our boot camps, and then under that, 3 or 4 topics. And students can choose then for which ones they want to apply, and they can give, for instance, 2 choices, and so they have more chances of getting selected. But yeah, and then for us, it's also important that these boot camps are hosted in a French institution. They would be hosted by a French university or a school, any higher education institution, which might help build also connection with French students, or just the general teaching style, and build also longer term connections.
I like that idea. I think for most students that are at our college, that 2 weeks is a perfect time because so many students work and have other obligations. So to get away for 2 weeks is kind of an ideal time period for them. For colleges that are interested, they just go onto your website and there's links there for the applications that they can promote for the students.
Yes, we have one website, and I don't know if you have show notes or something like that where we could put
that
on.
I can post it, yes.
So I can definitely share the link with you, and there's one where we always maintain all the information. Otherwise, I'm always happy if they just write to me.
I'll put your information as well as the link in our description for this podcast. Are you doing any other programming?
For when it comes to community colleges, we actually have a second idea also, where we think that community college students, some of them transfer, not all of them, of course, but a good share. And we're thinking that some of those students who would transfer inside the US should actually consider to transfer to France. So we've been working with 2 different kinds of institutions in France. The way they do it, they sign an articulation agreement with community colleges, and that helps them transition the students smoothly from community college into a French institution where they would get degrees. So there's either a transition into a bachelor's degree for business, or they would transition into a master's degree for engineering. Because in France, we don't have intermediate bachelor degrees for engineering. They would go directly into a master's. And it takes, of course, longer than the bachelor's to get to the master's. So the programs are very different in length and these kind of things. But the idea is always the same, that there are excellent students and who could benefit from this international experience. Of course, it means a lot of, like for most students, the 14-day format is much better than thinking about going abroad for more than a year. But for some students, I think it's actually a great opportunity. And it's something that community colleges can also use and show how they give and broaden the opportunities for their students.
I have had students interested in transferring to European universities. So that, I think, is a really good idea that you guys are working on. So is that something that's in the works right now, or have you actually already done some of these articulation agreements?
Yeah, we actually have done some of the programming. We have pilot students over who went into the engineering degree. And for the business degree, yeah, we also had recruitment of students. There were even some of them managed to go there in September 2020. So that was a little bit crazy in the midst of the pandemic, but they were so keen on going that they ended up really going to France and starting their business degree in September 2020 in France.
You had mentioned some other collaborations that you have done with some colleges. Could you talk about some of those collaborations specifically?
Oh, yes, of course. So additionally to our programs that we have designed and that are already in where community colleges cannot impact too much, we also work directly with community colleges if they say, okay, actually we have a group of 20 students or 15 students or something like that, and we really want to build our own program. are we doing that right now, actually, with Davidson Davy Community College. We've worked with the Angeles Community College District, that is the federation of 10 community colleges in Los Angeles. And so they asked us to co-design, or they became the designers and we became the helpers. And what we will do is connect them really with French institutions again, because we really believe in the value of faculty exchange and talk about curriculum and talk about the needs of the students. And then the French institution, they will be co-designing with the US Community College, the program. And one of the advantages of that is that our French institutions are public, and as they are also who have limited resources, they have no problem incorporating the idea of making something very cost efficient. And that's, I think, a lot of times we talk about grants and scholarships and these kind of things, but the first step to make it financially accessible is really to think about cost efficiency when building the program and keeping the cost low at the beginning. And this is something French institutions are really good at, because they have to do it for their own students as well. And in that sense, building the connection really between community colleges and French institutions for us is great. And we hope also that this will make them more sustainable and even help to scale it up and have connections and collaborations well beyond the work we can be doing. Because in the end, we are just 5 people and we can do the work for 5 people. But if we can make beyond that 20 people work together, for us, that would be amazing.
Yes, that sounds great. I know for me personally, it is very intimidating to try to develop a new program when you don't know a lot of people in that particular country. So to have the resources that you offer sounds fantastic. That is exciting. One other question I have, we've talked a lot about community colleges. Could you just touch a little bit on some things that, do you do the same things for universities? I'm assuming you do, but maybe not. So what are some things that maybe are relevant also to four-year schools?
Yes. So in general, I would say that our role as a matchmaker is definitely something that applies to all kinds of schools. It's just like in the way we've been working with community colleges, we made that more visible to them. And we had the message of, yes, when we say universities, that's just a French way of speaking and meaning colleges, community colleges, and everybody. And that was an important message in that way. So matchmaking, helping to find partners, that's something we do all the time. And in a lot of other ways is, of course, when partnerships already exist, we try to help to follow up on these partnerships, make sure they keep on working and that they get strengthened and maybe grow even. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of networking and talking to the people in the different universities and finding out who's actually responsible for a partnership or who would be interested in growing the partnership and finding these kind of opportunities for our French institutions. Beyond that, so we have also call for proposals. So we work a lot with calls and where we really try to give seed funding. And one of our calls is, for instance, the Transatlantic Mobility Program, where any kind of US higher education institution can apply if they have a partner and if they think they have a great idea to increase student mobility. And any kind includes, of course, community colleges, but also other four-year institutions who think they have a great idea on how to increase student mobility in a sustainable way and have impact on their student community. And then we select them and fund them and follow up with them. And I think that's one of the ways we work with institutions. And other than that, also when it comes to content, global education is important as well, internationalization at home. So we also work with universities on bringing speakers to them, or we're having, as me being part of the cultural services, I'm working very closely with colleagues who are more in the movies or who are more working in the visual arts, etc. And so building connections between these events who need a public and who need an audience and universities who look for global content is also one of the roles we're having in the US.
I did not know that. Obviously with the pandemic, but even before that, that's always been something that we have tried to focus on. I know at Parkland and a lot of colleges is bringing the internationalization to the students on our campuses. So that's good to know that you offer those services to help connect people with speakers and other things that they need for that cultural piece. Is there anything else that you would like people to know about what the French Embassy offers for internationalization efforts and study abroad?
Maybe something I should mention is that, so I'm based in New York and we have colleagues in Washington as well, but we also have colleagues in 8 other towns all over the US, and that's Boston, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Houston and Miami. And I'm saying that because a lot of times it's great actually to connect with these colleagues because they're really following up locally what's happening around them, and they have a good sense of also building then connections. Maybe if it's community college reaching out to them, they are able to really connect that to what is happening in the state or at that level, which is always a great way to build relationships. And that's important for us that we are able to work at, yeah, in the sense that when I'm talking about the initiatives that are for all community colleges or across the US, but at the same time, we're also having colleagues who are active more locally and always happy to connect with institutions across in the US.
I think that's great to know because, again, you know, the more local someone is, the more they are in touch with what's going on in that area and what the needs are for that particular area. So that is good to know that there's so many different locations that people can reach out to. That's all the questions I had. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, but this was really interesting for me and I think really valuable information as far as what you offer, from the boot camps to the personalized services that you trying to make as a matchmaker to help people build their own programs. And then finally, as also a service that kind of that connects people with different cultural types of speakers and materials that can help them internationalize their campuses. So I think those three areas are fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much, Jody. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information from today's podcast, and you will continue listening to Growing International. If you have any questions, please email me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. I'm always happy to talk to you online, so please send me any questions that you have. Also, I hope you continue listening to this podcast. We are hosted on Podbean, and also we are now on Spotify and Google. So again, thank you so much and catch you later.